Hey guys, Ed here. Let's see who's here. Jack. Hey, welcome, Jack. Good to see you. Chris, welcome. Erica's here. I'm just getting things started here on the back end. I'll be with you guys in just 1 minute. We'll get started. All right, I am back. Hey, it's great to be back with you guys. For those of you in the U.S., hope you had a great Thanksgiving break. Had some time to unwind and just kind of recharge the batteries. So welcome back. Hey, Janelle, good to see you here. Welcome. So guys, let's get started here as usual on a positive note. In the chat area, type in capital W and share a win that you've had since the last time we talked, a couple weeks ago. Again, a win doesn't really matter. It's big or small, it's you define what a win is. Progress is definitely a win. An insight, really getting, feeling good about something that you're changing, going through this material and implementing it. You define what that win is. It doesn't have to be anything massive. Just go ahead in the chat area, type in a capital W, and let me know what's good in your business, what you feel good about. Let's see. Erica says, reconnected with several dormant clients and now have 4 new projects on the go. Oh, man, that's awesome. That's great. So I'm assuming that Erica, were these all from one or were they from a couple of different ones? That's fantastic. Chris says, after waiting 2 months, I finally got the payment to get started on a white paper. Man, so this is the one that was dragging their feet, right, Chris? Is this the one with a parent company? It's from the UK, and that was man, what a mess. Erica says, oh, they were from 3 different clients and organizations. Fantastic, great to see that, man. I tell you, it's I find that dormant and past clients can be a great source of future business. Now, sometimes there's a reason why they're past clients and dormant clients. Many times they just will kind of moved on, right? But over time, there are many who will be viable clients in the future. And it's great. You've already done the heavy lifting. So Jack says, completed my lead magnet and I'm finishing the delivery and supporting content on the website. Fantastic. Great to see you, Jack, for your business, man. That makes so much sense. Have something like that in place. And of course, you know how to do the rest, right? With the ask methodology. So that's fantastic. Chris says, yeah, that's the client. It took their accounting department 2 months to successfully make a wire transfer. God, all right. Well, you know, that tells you a lot. So let's see how this one goes. Hopefully it'll run smoothly. I know that can be difficult when you get off, when you get started on the wrong foot like that. Awesome. All right, guys. Curious what you're working on right now. So in terms of our work together, your game plan, what are you either going through or what are you implementing or focused on right now? Type in P in the chat area and let me know what your main focus is this week and next week. Chris says, warm email prospecting. I love it. You got that habit down, my friend. I love it. It's I bet, Chris, that if you were to go a couple of weeks without doing it, you would feel really anxious, wouldn't you? All right, so what else? Jack is still tinkering with my block scheduling. It's getting there. Okay, good. Good stuff. I don't know if you went through my new training on architecting your week, Jack, and if you did, curious if that was helpful. I talk a little bit more about block scheduling and bucketizing there in more detail. Yeah, new training. If you're, I don't want to get you distracted, Jack, but I know you're really disciplined, so I'm not worried about you. If you go to under the training portal, the freedom section, which is the one on the far right, time freedom, I have some new training on, it's called Architect Your Week. And I got some ideas that I've been implementing over the past year or so that have been very, very effective for me. So I wanted to share them with you guys. And if you're doing the time blocking, I think it's going to be right up your alley. No worries. It's new. It just came out a couple weeks ago. And you know this by now, right? I don't announce new training as I load it. I pretty much upload and create new training every month. But the idea is not to throw stuff at you guys and overwhelm you. So stick to your game plan. But if you're caught up and you're in the implementing some new time management, productivity, that kind of thing, then I would say this, I think you'll find this helpful. Kelly is working on the productivity module, talking about productivity. Excellent. Hey, Kelly, welcome. Good to see you. And Janelle, we got you back. It looks like I lost you there for a bit. Erica is kicking everything off with the imposter syndrome module. I love it. That's important material right there. Good. Glad to hear that. All right. Let's see. Oh yeah, Janelle is having audio problems, but nothing Restart couldn't solve. Hey, when in doubt, restart. Right now, my Microsoft Word for some reason is just frozen. But I just found out right before this call, so I can't shut things down and restart. I'm gonna have to wait. And Janelle's still working on web copy. Okay, cool. So let me know. I saw your comment that you're going to have, or your goal is to have some new web copy by the weekend. Let me know when you have that. If you want me to take a look at it and give you a review, happy to do that. Just post it in the website copy review thread inside the Facebook group. And love to give you my feedback. Good stuff, guys. All right, so let's get into Q&A, and let me know where I can help you. So let me see if I can get to that slide. Just type in Q in the chat area if you have a question or you want to run something by me, you want to discuss something, you need feedback. The ground rules are very straightforward, guys. This is a small group, so I'm not worried about you guys. But I just tell everybody, look, keep your question focused and specific. Give me something we can discuss and within 5 minutes or so. If we need more time, that's fine. The more specific the question, the better feedback I can give you. One question per person, I can just come back to you if you have something else. And if it's applicable, give me one or two options you're considering. If it's the kind of thing where you're thinking about A or B and you need help in making that decision, then tell me a little bit about A or B. And of course, I can bring you in. We'll have a conversation, so I'm not worried about that. But it's an open floor, so if anyone wants to jump in, feel free. And I think Chris has got something here. Chris says, are there any books you would recommend we read after we're done with the program? I understand if you want to think about this and publish. Oh, yeah. So Chris, let me bring you in. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Ed, how's it going?
Good. I mean, open-ended question, right? I mean, it could be, you just opened up a whole world of possibilities. Like, I would throw it back at you. Is there an area that you feel, you like to, that you need help with, or that you like to learn more about that might help me give you better suggestions?
I think it's more with me. I just want to continue my education, but yet have it kind of be in the same path we're taking now, so it doesn't take me into something completely unrelated.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's, I'm very happy with doing the warm email prospecting, and I'm happy with how my nurturing is going. So I think it's just continuing that process into the future. And I'm very comfortable with that. But I was also wondering, like, are there any other books? Like, as you find more books, like, I know one you shared was The Obstacle is the Way, and I thought that was fantastic. Actually, my wife read that as part of a book club. But that was one really good one. I just didn't know if there's any other ones that kind of are run parallel with what you teach.
Yeah, that is a very important book because, I mean, we're just constantly being thrown all kinds of obstacles, right? We find obstacles in our path all the time. And I think if we don't change our mindset around challenges and obstacles, we're going to have a very miserable time as self-employed professionals. So that's one that I love to recommend. One that's related to that. Somebody asked me recently in a podcast interview, if I could leave, I don't know if it was two or three books to my children, if I knew I wasn't going to be around much longer and I wanted to leave two or three books for my children, what would they be? The Obstacle Is the Way was one of the first ones I mentioned. And then, actually I mentioned just two, that one and Seth Godin's The Dip. And of course I was put on the spot. So I need to, that's the kind of thing I would want to think a little bit more about. Because there's, I thought of a third one later, which is The Richest Man in Babylon, but that's really more about really in investing a portion of what you earn. And but Seth Godin, The Dip is very similar to The Obstacle Is the Way. If you like that, The Dip just talks about it. Are you familiar with that book?
Actually, I've never heard of it, but I'm going to look into it once we're done.
It's a very short little book. You'll read it in a couple of hours. And he explains it's simpler. It's a different take on The Obstacle Is the Way. The whole idea is that anything worth pursuing is going to have a dip. And think of things are a little bit easy at first because you get some quick wins. Even if it just is, hey, I'm making progress, or I just bought a book, you know, how to proceed, right? That can feel like a win. But then you get this dip where you're not making progress. If anything, you're actually falling behind and you get very discouraged. And most things worth pursuing have a dip. Some of them have a pretty big dip. So the whole idea is, you know, how you need to understand that and then how to overcome that and how to make the decision. Sometimes it's not worth pushing through that dip, you know? So he gives you some criteria there. So there's that one. From a cash flow management standpoint, the Profit First, Mike Michalowicz. And that is one, I have some training on cash flow management in the 2X project. A lot of it is based on Profit First. But I think it's a book that every business person should read, but every self-employed professional needs to read and apply.
That actually sounds like a good suggestion for the next module I should study. It's the one you have on cash flow management.
Now that you're getting things kind of geared up and cranked up, I think that would be a good thing, Chris. And if you go through that, I would still suggest getting the book because it's got more detail. What I show you are, how to get going quickly with this. But it's essential. I mean, honestly, I don't even know how I wish I would have had that information 10 years ago. And I implemented several elements of that up until recently, but not until I implemented Profit First as a system earlier this year did things really move in the right direction for me.
Sounds great.
So yeah, that would be another one.
Check out the book as well.
Yeah. And then the other one, I don't know if I've mentioned it here. You're really disciplined, but I think we all need help in this department, which is habit development. And James Clear, his new book, Atomic Habits, I think is just superb. I had read some books on habit development over the past few years, one of them being The Power of Habit, which is fantastic. But most of them were, I don't want to call them theoretical. They were more on the social science aspect of habits, which is very interesting, but not extremely practical. Atomic Habits is extremely practical.
Okay. Sounds great.
I think that kind of, those kinds of books are more helpful than, sales or marketing books or, copywriting books. you know, on the craft. Not that those things aren't not important, but I think it's really the mindset thing. Cash flow management is extremely practical. Habit development. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Sure thing. So whatever you end up choosing, come back and let us know what you think.
Okay, we'll do.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Erica says, the dip makes me think of my national novel writing experience. Ah. Yeah, it's, I tell you, that was eye-opening for me, the dip. You're not going to read anything in there that's going to completely just blow you away. It's going to clarify a lot of things that you've experienced and why it happens and then how to deal with it. Jack says, oh, and Jack, I know, is a big James Clear fan. Atomic Habits is awesome. So he's second that one. Yeah, James is a very, he's an excellent teacher. Loved how he broke that down. All right. Oh, cool. We have a few more folks just joined us. Blake, Lauren, welcome, guys. Jacob, welcome. Good to see you here. Good stuff. All right, we got a party officially. It's an open floor right now, guys. So if you want to discuss anything, you got questions, any feedback, just type in capital Q in the chat area and just give me an idea of what you'd like to talk about or that you have a question, and let's talk. Talking about mindset stuff while I'm waiting for questions, I posted a video yesterday on, I think, another big issue that we all face, which is procrastination. You know, oh, I'm going to get to that. And then another week goes by and you didn't get to that. And before you know it, 3-4 weeks have gone by and you haven't gotten to it. And it's, then you start feeling guilty. You know, what's wrong with me? Why can't I get this done? You know, why am I, I'm just a procrastinator. Then you start labeling yourself. And I've changed my mind about all that recently. And I shared some ideas and just, again, another mindset shift that I've made around procrastination. Really, instead of being a bad thing, I use it as a tool to help me shine a spotlight on things that need attention, and then give me the way I do it now, as you'll watch the video, is it'll help me identify the reason for the procrastination. And once I understand the reason, then I can start addressing it. But until you understand the reason, it's just going to be something you kind of keep punting from one week to the next. And of course, not a good thing. Chris says the video was great. Good. Glad you liked it. Jack says, how do you deal with client procrastination? Hey, Jack, just bringing you on. So do you mean clients who are procrastinating on getting back to you?
Yeah, I'm talking about clients I'm doing the work for, and they could never seem to get feedback done on work I've submitted. So I hesitate to, set a deadline and, you know, light a fire under them that way.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I had one client once upon a time who stretched it out for a year. I got a good initial deposit, got paid up front, so that was great. But then it took a year for the work to be approved and done, you know. She would pop up after 6 months, and all of a sudden it was, I had to go back and remember what I'd written, you know?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I've been there. Not quite a year, but something like 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
Very frustrating. Let's talk about that, because it's others. Chris said, yeah, great one. I think we've all dealt with these types of clients. Several things come to mind. One of them is, and you've addressed it, payment, right? So you need to, if you address the payment thing, you know, you want either a deposit, if it's a first-time client, The other thing would be, if it makes sense, progress payments. Depending on the nature of the project, the size. And then another, but if not, none of that applies, let's just say it was a $5,000 project or $3,000, and they're an existing client. So he didn't get a deposit. There was no progress payment because it really didn't justify that. Then you could add something to your contract or your agreement, or you could just go ahead and decide to do it, that you need to go ahead and an invoice for work done. So, you know, what you don't want is, you know, 90 days have gone by, you haven't invoiced because they're still on their court, and you know, you have no idea when that's going to happen. So, one thing that I strongly recommend is that you tie payment to something you do to first draft. In other words, maybe another way of saying it is decouple or separate the payment from the final product. Okay, so most writers say, well, I'll invoice you either the whole project or the balance once the project is finalized. But what happens if it takes a year? You know, you can't be expected to basically bankroll the project. So what I do to take care of these things is I just say, look, I'll invoice one week after initial draft. So, and then it's due 15 days later. And it doesn't matter. I mean, it could be 30 days later. So that way, look, I did my part. Of course, now it's on your court. You need to give me feedback. I'm going to wait a week, then I'm going to invoice you. And that process is completely separate from what you're doing internally. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And that way we don't get into, you know, these arguments. The other thing would be, so that's kind of the whole payment thing. Revisions. Consider deadline. Deadline for revisions. Mine says, look, 30 days. You got 30 days from when I submit an initial draft to give me revisions. And then the way I explain it is, look, after 30 days, like getting, for me to get back, I got multiple projects, multiple clients, for me to get back, get my head back into this, there's a certain amount of creative energy required. I no longer have that efficiency. So I've lost that. If it's, you know, 60, 90 days, a year, it's just impossible. So apply a deadline for revisions, and then if it's longer, then it's going to be quoted separately. It's, you know, you don't have to call it this, but it's really a change order. It's kind of its own project at that point, right? So 6 months later, I had a client finally get back to me with edits to their white paper. And guess what? They had taken so long, they had now a different direction they wanted to go on. Shocker, right?
Yeah,
so, so that it's really a separate project now. You know, I will quote you a flat fee for making the changing the direction and making these edits. So very important that you have a reasonable deadline. I'm not hung up on whether it's 30 days or 60 days. I like 30 days. And if occasionally you have a client say, well, wait a minute, but that means I might have to pay you before we're done with revisions. And say, yeah, but you know, it is what it is. And I explain it. That again, getting back into it takes a lot longer, more effort, and then also the fact that you know, I'm self-employed, I can't finance this project with my receivables, accounts receivable. I think there's a third opportunity here, which is scheduling. So I tell clients that, look, I've blocked this time to work on with you and your project. Now I have to, you know, and I have other clients that I have to schedule, and now you're delaying this. I'm going to fit you in as best as I can, but I can't, you know, I can't drop everybody and then impact them because you're getting back to me 3 months later. So, you know, just talking about constraints. Scheduling, and people understand that. I mean, I think reasonable clients understand, you know, these payment issues, right? Tie, especially this one. This is the solution right here, tying your payment to, or separating the payment from the logistical aspects of the draft or the work. Revisions, being clear on your revision terms, and then just talking about the fact that you're scheduling. You know, you're like a factory, right? You're scheduling production, and you'll do your best, but you have these constraints, and it's really about that. You can't force someone to take action and to move, but you can be really clear about these things in your contract and in your discussions. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I think that's where I fell down. Is you know, I didn't have a problem getting paid with this. And she paid everything up front. I asked for it, and she paid it. So that was nice. But to come back, you know, like they say, it's an investment for the client, but for us freelancers, it's just paying a few bills, and then you know, it's gone. So you know, when they come back 6 months later and there's other work scheduled and the project is kind of, as you said, not really active in my head to go back and start thinking about again, it just seems like, I don't want to work that. I don't want to work that way. So I think the answer is pretty clear that it's contractual, that I set deadlines on, as you say.
Yeah. So there's not an issue with the first thing, the payment. Right. But I think part of the solution for you is this and then this. And by the way, I don't know if you would want to get into this, by the way, but one of the things that I do on more complex projects, and this might actually fit what you're doing, is I put together a plan. And if you think about it, I could do this in a spreadsheet. So if this is so this is like a task and due date and then due date. This is client due date. So what I will do is just keep it really simple, but you could do something like you know, submit outline. Due date to client would be, you know, on 12/1, and then client due date back to me, you know, 12/6. And by the way, so this is the idea here is you would work on something, you would submit it, and the client would approve it or might edit, but you put a plan together and you get agreement on how this is going to go back and forth. Outline revisions. So the client submitted some changes. Okay, well now 12/8, and then the approval would be, you know, on their part, maybe 12/12. First draft, etc. 12/20. The client approving it or giving you revisions might be whatever, 12, of course, we're getting into Christmas. So the example starts breaking down, but you see what I mean.
Right.
And what this does, if you can get agreement from them on just a simple project plan like this, then you have something you could point to and you could say, hey, we're you know, that was due yesterday. How's that coming along? And of course, this is just an example, a very tight time frame. You could do this however you'd like, and you don't necessarily need to have every single simple task here, but it's up to you. But some clients, and you know who they are, it's just better to work with them in this manner. And I think there's some clients who love this kind of thing because they know what they're like, and they want a little bit of babysitting. They want someone to lead the way and to keep them on task. So just something else to consider.
Yeah, that helps.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Good stuff. All right. Was that helpful, guys, for those of you who, you know, have had to deal with this? Because I think that's probably everybody. Did you get some ideas on ways you could maybe minimize this? Okay, good. Chris says yes. Blake says absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, says Lauren. Good. I think the biggest one is really, if I were to narrow it down to just one, it would be this one. Always tie payment. Even if you have a deposit, it doesn't matter. You could have 50% due up front with a new client, which I always recommend. But then the balance, you're going to invoice it based on when you submit the initial draft. Always tie it to something you did, so it's under your control, not on something the client does, in this example, finalizing the project or getting back to you with revisions or getting back to you with a final approval. Huge. By the way, I mean, if you want to know, I've Peter Bowerman had written in The Well-Fed Writer, read it years ago, and he said that he had net 15-day terms, and he figured that, you know, I'm going to ask for net 15 days and see what happens. And he found that half of his clients were actually paying within 15 days, like they were actually abiding by his payment terms. The other half, they weren't. It was more like 30 days. But he knew, based on that, that if he asked for 30, then it would be 30 and 45 days or 30 and 60 days. So he figured he had nothing to lose by asking for 15 days because some would go ahead and pay quickly. And then you would still push everybody to pay a little bit sooner. I like Jack's idea. You know, some clients, sounds like he's collecting money up front, and I wouldn't give up on that idea. I think it's a great way to, depending on the client and who you're working with and what the amounts are, but that's a great negotiating tactic, by the way. Something to keep in your back pocket is, you know, if they want to negotiate and you're working on different things, you can absolutely negotiate terms. Not just a fee. So in many cases, I would be willing to cut down my fee for upfront payment. All right, open floor right now, guys. If anyone has a question, an issue they want to discuss, just let me know in the chat area. I can bring you in. You guys are very quiet today, which has me worried. Post-Thanksgiving hangover. Yeah. Chris, this is a tryptophan from the turkey. Yeah, no kidding, right? It still messes you up. That's why I only eat that stuff once a year. While I'm waiting, I'll be giving you guys more details here in a few weeks, so sometime in December. But we're looking to make some improvements to the program. I don't want to reveal too much. Some really cool stuff that I'm excited about, and I'll be unveiling it probably around mid-December. So stay tuned for that. Some really cool stuff that I think is going to benefit you greatly. And that's all I'm going to say about that. All right. Again, questions, feedback, request, anything you want to discuss? All right. I don't see anything else, guys. So we can go ahead and start wrapping up. Of course, if you think of anything, go ahead and let me know. Takeaway from today's conversation. I know we didn't have a ton of topics, but so I'll add not just takeaways from today's conversation, but maybe something from the training you've been going through or as you're implementing some of it. What's been a key takeaway for you either today or recently that you think might be helpful to others? I'd love to hear it either way. Just type in T in the chat area. Let me know what you've got. And while you're thinking through that, I want to make sure as always that you have something very specific, at least one action item, something you're going to commit to working on over the next 2 weeks. I know I post a thread every Monday in the Facebook group, and many of you, or some of you, are pretty good about indicating your action items for the week. Be curious what you've got going on that you that's a top priority for you over the next couple of weeks. Let's see. Chris says, top takeaway, setting expectations with clients using a project plan. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Especially with the more complex ones. So white papers are definitely qualified for that. The kind of work Jack does with these ask methodology funnels. Lots of moving parts. Definitely. You know, anything that's, you know, you just don't want to do it for a very simple project. Although, I mean, you certainly can. If you wanted to, it's only going to have like maybe three or four rows in that plan. But once you start getting more complex, I find that it gets everyone on the same page, and most clients really appreciate it. Erica says, top takeaway to get profit first. This review looks fantastic. Yeah, Erica is so good. So I recommend it. I know you're just starting to go through the training in your game plan. So not to throw anything new at you, but I really believe that the training that I have in there under freedom and money freedom, it's called cash flow management for freelancers, will give you a really good overview of how I apply that, and I've combined it with some other systems and things that I've been doing and things that some of my colleagues have taught me. Who are also freelancers and self-employed professionals. And if you go through that, I think it's going to make the book more applicable, because he wrote that book for business people, period. Entrepreneurs, small business owners. Actually, not just small business, even some bigger businesses. So what I have in the training is really the application of that. So, I mean, it's up to you. You could do the book first and then go through this training, or you can go through the training and then do the book. But I strongly recommend you still do the training. Let's see. Kelly says, top takeaway, I needed the reminder about decoupling invoicing in the final product. Okay, good. Good. I'm glad that was helpful. Top action item for Chris, keep sending 50-plus warm emails per week through December. Yeah, perfect. For those of you who are not planning to go anywhere, over the holidays, just one quick little tip. I don't know if I mentioned this in the last call, but I had a coaching client a couple of years ago who did warm email prospecting during Thanksgiving week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then also between Christmas and New Year's. So this year, it's kind of an odd, I think the year she did it, Christmas fell on a weekend. So it was perfect because it was that week. It was just completely open. But anyway, point is, she got three times the response rate and results than she normally did by sending warm emails that week. It's counterintuitive. You think, well, wait a minute, people aren't going to be in the office. Two things, people are always connected. Three things, always connected. Inboxes are not as crazy as they normally are. And number three, and this is just a theory, I think people are in a better mood. Better mood, more receptive, and anything that they know could help them, but they don't have to deal with right now. It's something that they know they have to worry about once they get back in the office. They're much more open to it. It's like, yeah, absolutely. Hey, let's reconnect first week of January kind of thing in 1 or 2 weeks. So I would seriously consider if you're, you know, if you're planning on working through the holidays, testing it on the 26th, 27th, 28th, those would be ideal days to try some warm mule prospecting. But if you decide to do it, I recommend keeping some records and looking to see how it worked, as opposed to maybe a normal week for those of you who are doing warm mule prospecting. And by the way, I think it would also apply to LinkedIn conversation starters. Blake says, action item, I've contacted Crystal about an update to my game plan. Awesome. Okay. Blake, have you heard back from her, or is it just today? Let me know, and she'll send you a link for you, where you can give me a little bit of information so I could put something together for you. Lauren says, top takeaway from training on creating a marketing plan, the idea that I can do marketing tactics that resonate with me and leave ones that don't, because I hate cold calls. Absolutely. Don't do anything that, yeah, it's because it's just not going to work. I mean, if you don't buy into it, I'd rather you stick with something that you know you'll stick with. And then action item, create my marketing plan, need to finish trainings, but I have a sense of the marketing tactics that I'd like to use. Excellent. Great to hear that. Erica says, action item, complete imposter syndrome module. That's it for now as I wrap up NaNoWriMo and tackle the new projects that landed in my inbox and check out the cash flow tips you mentioned. That's super relevant right now. Awesome. Yeah, I think it's going to be right up your alley. I mean, it's the kind of thing that we all need a system. And it's a system you don't have to think about. Once you adapt it to your own use, I even created a standard operating procedure for me based on how I've adapted it. And I just print it out every time, every 2 weeks on the 10th and the 15th, the 10th and 25th. And I just follow it. Let's see, Erica and Janelle have questions. Yeah, perfect. I'm going to get to you here in a second. Jack says, top action item set in a new module under Freedom. Kelly says, I'm going to go through the productivity material and review the old material. Okay, Blake, let me make a note. Blake, game plan. Sorry about that, Blake. I'm not sure what's going on. Usually she's right on top of that. So I will follow up on that, and one of us will get back with you today. Okay, let's see. Eric, Janelle has a question here. I unfortunately can't go live with audio, but one thing I'm struggling with as I write my web copy is whether to talk directly to business executives and thought leaders or their marketing directors. I can easily come up with challenges they face. For instance, a writer who can't credibly capture their voice, someone who's comfortable working with senior executives, for example. Perhaps there really is no difference and I'm overthinking it. Thoughts? Yeah, great question. All right. When in doubt, this comes up. I've heard this question. You're not the only one who's asked, Janelle, and it's a very legitimate question. My suggestion would be to speak to the ultimate person you'd be working with, which would be the executive, okay? And because that's like you want to speak to their challenges as it relates to how you can help them. And the marketing director is really kind of, if you think about it, facilitating, right? So they're going to go ahead, they're probably going to make the decision or a short list and then put them in front of their, you know, CEO or vice president. But you need to be able to speak to the executive. Ultimately, they're the final decision maker. That's who you'd be interfacing with. And it's going to be much more effective if you speak to them. Now, I you could, if it made sense, have something in there about, you know, your executives or your VP or your CEO. Be like, there could be a section there where you talk to the marketing director about how you work with them, but that's completely up to you. Ultimately, though, I think it needs to be written to that person, to the executive. Erica has a question here. As we move through the program, do we update our work plans as we check off the trainings you've recommended in the first game plan? Okay, so here's what I would do, Erica. As you go through them, you know, there's two parts to everything, right? It's going through the training and then implementing it. Now, a lot of the things in terms of the implementation are going to be kind of ongoing, right? So it kind of never ends. you have to figure out, okay, when can I check that off as implemented, even though it's a recurring thing? That's completely up to you. But for each item, I would mentally or physically have two checkboxes. Okay, I went through the training, check. I've implemented and it's now kind of incorporating into my week, or it's something that I'm now regularly implementing or I feel relatively comfortable with, and now I'm moving on to the next one. So that one you could be a check. Once you get to the last project, because remember, there's training, but each of those trainings are under a specific project. So once you can check both boxes off for the final project, then you could just let me know in the Facebook group, or you can email crystal@b2blauncher.com, and we'll send you a link to a page with a few questions. It won't be as many as when you first joined the program. I think there were like 19 questions. It's just a handful of questions to help me see where you are, what's been working, where you're still struggling. And then what I'll do is I'll put together a new revised game plan for you. And there's no limit to those. I mean, the whole idea isn't, right? If you're making progress and you're implementing and you're getting results, or you're still, you know, wherever you're facing challenges, I want to know about it. But wait until you can check off each of those projects on both counts, gone through the training and implemented, or I have some momentum with the implementation already. Okay. And you can say that about all three projects that from your original game plan. I think, by the way, guys, one of the things that is so important is, and I've said this to you, I think I pretty much say it to everyone in my game plan overview, is you got to treat this stuff like a doctor's appointment, okay? Otherwise, it just becomes kind of, oh, it's one of those things I need to do, you know? So more to that procrastinating thing we opened up with a little bit earlier. If you don't carve out the time, if Friday afternoon is going to roll around and it just, you know, another week's gone by and you didn't really do anything or what you wanted to do with this material. So very important that you carve out time. When I say carve out time, it's not, you know, I'm going to work on it on Friday. No, Friday at what time? Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Great. How much you dedicate is not as important as the consistency and the fact that you actually wrote down a day and time that you're going to dedicate to this stuff, because it won't happen on its own. And I know that you know that. I know it's common sense, but believe me, I struggle with this stuff too. I'm in a program right now. I've been in a year, and if I don't schedule time to go through the training and implement that stuff, it just doesn't get done. And next thing I know, another month has gone by and I haven't really made progress. Now, I've made tremendous progress over the past year, but I want to be consistent progress. So I know that life gets in the way, guys. Listen, I'm not here to criticize or to preach, but it's extremely important that you make that commitment to yourself. And if you know you're going to have a heck of a week next week, and you know it's going to be fine. You know, you might opt to maybe next week just focus on those other things. But I would argue that even on very busy weeks, even just half an hour, even hey, you know what, on that training, I'm going to go through two lessons. Of course, you have to go in to see how long they are, make sure you can budget it accordingly. But even that is progress. And you'll feel so great about the fact that you were consistent and you stuck to that, that that's going to give you great momentum and make you feel like you really are doing the things you're supposed to be doing. It changes your identity. It really does. It changes your identity to someone who is consistent and someone who just pushes through and gets it done. Okay. Any other questions? Last call. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. We had a couple that came in there toward the end. All right, guys. I don't see anything else. So our next call will be in a couple of weeks. But of course, let's continue our conversations in the Facebook group. I look forward to chatting with you there. You guys have a great rest of the week. We'll talk again real soon. Take care, everybody.